We are here in the studio with Gene Bolduc, the host of The Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game show in which Gene and I take a look at all the stuff that has people upset on social media this week, and we decide whether they are in fact things or if they are not really things. God, no one's upset on social media about anything this week. I don't know how we're going
to
do this.
Yeah, everybody's gone to sleep on social media. It's so hard to come up with a topic.
So let's start local.
Except that one guy in D.C., he seems kind of upset.
Yeah. So let's start local and go. Let's start local and go national. So right. Silent Sam, obviously a thing.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts on
that's
it?
A great big thing. In fact, at the risk of spoiling my promo this weekend on the water cooler, I have a really terrific conversation with Damon Siles about this, kind of going through the history of Silent Sam and talking about also about, you know, kind of, okay, so now that we've, I think the way I put it was, now that we've blown up the bridge on the River Kwai, what happens now?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really expects that they're going to go out there and reinstall it. So
apparently there are those who
oh,
fully
I'm sure
expect
I'm
that.
I'm sure there
yeah.
are those who do, but I think that's highly unlikely. That whole issue, at least in my circle, I think people were fairly uniform that this was a really irritating event that it got to this level, that this happened specifically because this was probably one of the most predictable outcomes you could possibly ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And could have been avoided and should have been avoided. I'm very, very disappointed in the chancellor that she did not simply order a crew out there a month ago in the middle of the night to take down the statue, relocate it somewhere, as it is now, somewhere undisclosed, to be reinstalled somewhere else after consensus is reached about how best to do that and where, and prevent any, you know, exposure of a possible incident where somebody could get injured.
Yeah.
Nobody did. I'm glad about that. And I can't help but notice that the only people who are talking about that event and attaching terms of violence and a mob and all that stuff are all on the so-called other side, on the side of let's keep those Confederate monuments up because they keep the racism going.
Yeah, it's a difficult position. I understand it's a really difficult position for the chancellor to be in prior to
right.
that, because you're 100% right. She should have done that.
Right.
That is what should have been done. We know enough about the thinking of the Board of Trustees, about the Board of Governors, not necessarily Margaret Spellings, but the Board of Governors,
right.
and definitely people in Raleigh and the General Assembly to know that if she had done that, she would have been risking her job.
Like, right.
Almost
exactly
certainly,
right.
I mean, there would definitely have been people calling for her to be fired, and they have a lot of clout and very possibly could have
absolutely
made that happen.
Right.
You're still probably right that that's what she should have done.
Yeah, and I'll put it to you this way. You know, Chancellor, if you're listening, I love my university. I love my diploma. I would put it this way. The chancellor can shut down the university in a hot minute if there's an inch of snow on the ground. And it seems to me that that's done in the interest of student safety, student
right.
and faculty safety. I don't see how this is any different. And I would, you know, I would act first and ask questions later. I would, you know, it's easier to get forgiveness than ask permission.
Yeah, it's also easier to say you should do this than to actually be in the position of, is it worth risking my job over
and,
this?
And that's exactly the next point I was going to make, Aaron,
mm-hmm.
which is that there are some things that are worth risking your job
there
for.
Are. Yeah.
And I really think that a whole lot of people, and I'd be one of them, would be happy to show up in McCorkle Place to demonstrate mm-hmm. that she be permitted to keep her job for acting.
Yeah. The one thing that I will say about Silent Sam is not a thing that people have tried to make a thing is the public safety argument about the statue, calling for the statue to be moved as a public safety measure. I think knowing what we know from other towns' experiences, Charlottesville most notably, that the act of moving the statue would have also ramped up tensions and created public safety concerns. I don't think there's any less of a risk to public safety by moving the statue versus leaving it there. Having said that, and also the argument that, oh, there's a public safety risk if people try to take it down, I never bought that, and they were able to take it down without any injuries. So, but having said that, if the people who want the statue put back up somehow get their way, that's a public safety issue, because that would extremely ramp up tensions.
It is, and I think that's exactly correct, and the reason is because what they're after has almost nothing to do with that statue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to do with amping up. It has to do with juicing up a base, a political base, amplifying racial tensions, and many, many things that are very, very bad. And there, you know, as I told Damon, a friend of mine who's grown up, lived in this county all her life. Her family is hundreds of years dead in this county. They go back to the Revolutionary War. I was surprised that she thought that statue was erected to honor soldiers on both sides of the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
which is not true.
Yeah.
That statue was installed, as you know, in 1913, installed and dedicated with a racist speech, was placed where it's placed, facing north,
mm-hmm.
to symbolically protect the campus from any more Yankee invasion.
The figure on the statue has
right.
a CSA bag.
Right.
That's Confederate
right.
States of America.
I mean, it's just absolutely clear. And so that whole side of that argument about, you know, erasing history and all that
yeah.
is very much in the not a thing
yeah.
bin.
The one thing I will say about that, I wasn't at the rally on Monday night. I went there on Tuesday to look at it and see what people were doing and saying around it. And I walked around the pedestal, which is still there,
right.
And actually for the first time really noticed the plaques that are on the pedestal.
Yeah.
One of them, there's two. One of them says, put up by the Daughters of the Confederacy. The other one, the plaque that's on the pedestal, says dedicated in honor of the students who
yes.
gave their lives for their country without in the Civil War, without specifying
right.
which side. The statue definitely specifies a side. The plaque
right.
on the pedestal does not. So for all of the people who
right.
have made this argument all of these years about, oh, no, it's about recognizing this. It's all about recognizing both sides. Well, the way it is now, it finally is what they've been saying it should have been the whole
that.
Time.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's right. That's
so
right.
they should be totally in favor of leaving it now. And it finally is reconciled with what they've wanted it to be this
right.
whole time, apparently.
I mean, the other part of that argument, too, is about, well, why don't we just put up a second statue that kind of gives the other side of the argument? Well, first of all, that suggests an equation that doesn't
mm-hmm.
exist. All right? This was a Confederacy that was put down against the United States of America. But okay, let's do that. Let's put a influential Union figure. How about we put up a nice statue of General Grant right there? I'm sure that'd go over huge.
Yeah.
No, that would
better
never,
than Sherman,
never happen.
I'd think. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Or Sherman. Either
yeah.
one, right? Either one. So we live in the world, we know that would absolutely never happen. And that illustrates the point of
mm-hmm.
how deeply the feelings run about this. You can't. We wish we could erase that history, but we cannot, and
so,
we shouldn't.
So that's Silent Sam, thing number two, and I'll let you take it, because you've been following this Mueller thing a lot more than I have.
Well,
so this is your week.
And the delicious part is that this isn't that much the Mueller thing, but of course Paul Manafort was convicted. He was convicted on 8 felony counts, and the jury was hung on 10 more counts. And on the 10 counts where the jury was hung, the jury was 11 to 1,
mm-hmm.
With one juror holding out. And the other jurors apparently kind of made a deal with that juror that, well, look, vote with us on these 8, and we'll let you, you know, hang the jury on these 10. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't let them just walk. So that was an interesting and encouraging outcome for that trial. That jury and in that jurisdiction in Virginia, that's in the Alexandria, Virginia court, that was Paul Manafort's best chance at getting acquitted of anything. His next trial, which begins in a couple of weeks, is in D.C., which went 96% to 4% for Hillary Clinton. So
not that that should matter, but the
vast majority of this jury in Virginia were Trump supporters. And it's going to matter in D.C. And the charges are charges of not registering as a foreign agent. And, you know, they are much more closely aligned with the Russian collusion investigation. And so it's my opinion that that trial's never going to happen. I think he's going to make a deal before that trial begins.
Yeah.
To cooperate.
I didn't have time or a chance to think about everything that was going down on Tuesday with Manafort and Cohen being found and then pleading guilty
right.
5 minutes apart from each other, because that was the day that we were responding to and talking about Silent Sam. So we're focused on that locally. But kind of reflecting on that this week with Manafort's guilty verdict, Cohen's guilty plea, and now several people in the aftermath of that. It either being made public for the first time or this actually happened this week that they turned state's evidence and got immunity. I have, for the last, 2 years, we've been hearing every single week, this is the tipping point, this is the tipping point, this is the moment, Trump has gone too far, people are going to turn against him, and every single week it ends up being wrong, to the point where I don't even hear that argument anymore when people make it. Like, no, that's not the case. He's going to have the same 42% approval rating he always does. This feels like a tipping week, and this is the first time that I've felt that this might be the case in a very long time. Like, I didn't even think that the Access Hollywood video, I didn't think for a second that that was a tipping point, and that felt like a tipping point. This feels like more of a tipping point than that to me. I don't know if it's going to be, but we'll see.
You know, so the joke setup that we that we would call it, I think, is the accountant, the lawyer, and the blackmailer walk into a bar, or in this case, they walk into a grand jury, probably, and they're keeping even that detail out of the public domain. So this is Michael Cohen, the attorney, CPA's name for Trump, Alan, last long name.
Yeah.
David Pecker, the publisher
Inquirer
of the Inquirer
guy,
and AMI. And David Pecker has been, operating a blackmail operation, basically, where he's been holding information that was negative about Trump and running stuff that was
and
just...
And other celebrities as well,
other
right?
Celebrities,
like, he's got a safe full of stories he can use, apparently.
He did a lot of that for Tiger Woods, actually, and got Tiger Woods' agreement to appear on the cover of Men's Journal magazine, another publication that he owns. And that's the reason Tiger Woods did that, is because he agreed that he would not run stories about him in the Inquirer about the many, many, many women that he was cheating on his wife with.
If someone asks me to appear on the cover of Men's Journal magazine, I'll do it. You don't have to blackmail me. I'm fine.
Why do they chase after these people that nobody ever heard of when they could have had Aaron Keck?
That's an honor, Tiger Woods. Come on.
I just don't understand that. This is the business that this guy was in. So these three delicious people end up, two of them, the accountant and the blackmailer, end up getting immunity deals in association with the Southern District of New York, which is federal. And now the Manhattan District Attorney and the Attorney General in the state of New York are both investigating Trump's foundation, which is has been the biggest wide open, how could you miss this scam, for years.
Mm.
And now it's going to be Ivanka and Eric and Don Jr. in that investigation. And that's not going to go slowly, I promise you. And we don't know how long it's been going on. We know we just found out about it.
Mm.
So now the Republicans are behind the scenes. The reporting is that the Republicans are behind the scenes. The leadership is telling Republican incumbents, you might want to just either say nothing or start putting some distance between yourself and the president. Why now? Why are these the things that make this happen, Aaron? The primaries are just about over. That's why. They're afraid of their base.
We've got to wrap up. Damon Sal's on the weekend water Damon cooler Sal's, this weekend, Sunday 1 to 8. Sunday 1 and 8.
Yeah, 1 to 8. Yeah, that'd be a long conversation.
Got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Got to ask you, because we just got a question from a listener. You knew that the vast majority of jurors were Trump supporters from just demographics from Alexandria, or
from,
was that the...
From the juror who did the interview with Fox.
Oh, with Fox, yes. Had said that?
That's
okay.
What she said.
All right. 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Sunday, weekend water cooler with Damon Siles.
Don't miss it. We're just tearing up the water cooler.
All right. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thank you.